ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Nightlife. News Breakdown.
Nightlife News Breakdown time. It's a Thursday, of course, and that means that the wonderful Ellen Fanning is with us. Ellen, of course, normally presents ABC News Queensland on Fridays and Saturdays, but she's moonlighting all over the place, particularly on ABC Sydney this week. Ellen, a big thanks for coming to talk to Nightlife.
I'm right here.
Let's kick it off. The Bruce Lehrman case is occupying a lot of news. This might be a story that people think is less important than other things, and I get that, but it's absorbing because of the number of people it's drawn in, hasn't it?
Yeah.
This afternoon, the federal court in Sydney heard allegations that the Seven Network had reimbursed Mr. Lehrman for money spent on drugs and sex workers as it negotiated an exclusive interview with him.
Yeah, and I think it's important, and you and I were talking in the kitchen earlier, to put all of this into context. So for those who haven't been paying strict attention to all the sidebars that have emerged since the original criminal case in Canberra, here's a quick refresher. So Bruce Lehrman is suing the Ten Network and Star reporter Lisa Wilkinson for an interview that was conducted on the project in which Brittany Higgins alleged she'd been raped at Parliament House. They didn't name Lehrman as the alleged offender, but Lehrman says he was identifiable and defamed and he wants damages. Now, all of this arose after the criminal case against him collapsed. He maintained his innocence throughout. Remember, there was juror misconduct, so no findings against him. And then the retrial was abandoned over concerns for Brittany Higgins' mental health. And so the latest iteration then becomes this defamation case. And Justice Lee is sitting there and he's heard all the case, all the information from Lisa Wilkinson and Network 10. Months of it has dragged on. And he was supposed to be handing down his judgment today. But the whole thing was reopened after allegations came to light about Bruce Lehrman's behaviour around the time that the Seven Network were wooing him for an exclusive two-part interview on their Spotlight program. And this disgruntled former Seven producer came to light, Taylor Auerbach, and made a series of explosive allegations about Lehrman. Now, before we go into those, why does this matter?
Yeah, why does it matter?
Why does it matter who said what to whom when a commercial network was trying to woo a high-profile former Liberal Party staffer for this sort of high-profile exclusive interview? Well, first of all, what Lehrman did during this time, according to Taylor Auerbach, goes to his credibility. It goes to whether or not he abused court processes, and that might have been extended allegedly to contempt of court, and that might all affect the quantum of damages that might be awarded to him if Justice Lee finds that he was indeed defamed by the Ten Network. So that's what it all comes down to, credibility and whether there was an abuse of court process. And then, of course, the whole thing becomes the source of tabloid headlines, as you hinted.
I mean, it's absorbing, isn't it? The Ten wanted to reopen their case because, after all, they were right on the eve of judgment. And they say that this new evidence which has come to light sheds light on the credibility of Mr. Lehrman, and therefore, that credibility, of course, goes to his credit, and therefore that credit, of course, is an issue in the defamation case.
And there have been mumblings in the court from Justice Lee and from Ten's counsel that said, look, this might have a material effect, not only on the credibility of the applicant, Mr. Lehrman, but in the determination of the whole matter. So what's this Taylor Auerbach said? Mr. Auerbach has very much fallen out with everybody he used to work with at Channel 7.
Well, he got the sack from Channel 7, didn't he?
I don't recall whether he did or he didn't get the sack. There have been too many twists and turns in this matter.
Okay, but maybe he didn't get the sack.
He's certainly not going to the Christmas parties anymore. Mm-hmm. He's not going to any birthdays or any more boozy lunches at Channel 7. But back in the day, in November 2022, he was assigned the babysitter, right? He was the babysitter of Bruce Lehrman in this months-long effort to secure this exclusive interview. And what he alleges is that on a particular boozy night in November of 2022, Mr. Lehrman acquired for himself a bag of cocaine and then procured some sex workers and then afterwards said it was his shout, These are the allegations from Auerbach. But later said, look, I'm a bit short of funds. I'm a bit hard up. Perhaps that's not the expression I should use, but nevertheless, I'll press on. I wonder if I could be reimbursed for that. So Mr. Auerbach says, righto, he came up with the idea that you could put in for a per diem, which is a daily rate that media organisations and others will pay you for the expenses, workplace expenses that you might have encountered. Now, Mr. Lehrman, through his barrister, said, none of that happened. Absolutely none of that happened. Channel 7 this evening is reeling. They're appalled at these allegations. They rejected that they reimbursed Mr. Lehrman for illegal drugs and prostitutes. And so that's the matter to credibility. Now, the next matter that really is the heart of all of this is when the Spotlight program went to air in, I think it was middle of last year, it was clear that they'd somehow got their hands on thousands of pages of confidential court documents from Bruce Lehrman's criminal rape trial. And this included material that had not been tendered as evidence in court. And so it was police materials. It was essentially a dump of Brittany Higgins' phone, more than 2,000 text messages between her and her former boyfriend. Now, there's such a thing as the Harmon Undertaking, and it appears to breach that. And the Harmon Undertaking is essentially a way for the courts to ensure that sensitive information disclosed during legal proceedings isn't used inappropriately. And as these, a lot of this material was never tendered as evidence in court, it should never have come to light. It should never have come to light, this personal sensitive material about Brittany Higgins. And it did. Network 10 alleged that Bruce Lehrman provided that material to Seven. And they say that Lehrman lied about that under oath. Lehrman, of course, says that's not true. He didn't provide the information. Seven has said all the way along that they'll protect their sources. Now, if Lee accepts that Lehrman did provide that information to Network 7, then that's an abusive process. That process. That's potentially contempt of court. It not only, Phil, Lee has indicated, would go to the credibility of Lehrman himself, but it would be, according to the judge, material to determining the entire case.
Because the whole box and dice has intense interest because of the defence to the defamation suit brought by Bruce Lehrman. And Channel 10 are saying, well, our defence to this is that it was true. That we are pleading truth here. We're saying these events did happen, and so in essence, there wasn't a criminal trial in the end that determined guilt or innocence. Mr. Lehrman was never convicted of anything,
And maintains his innocence.
But in essence, we're getting a kind of de facto trial here, aren't we? That's the intense interest.
And 10 is, of course, relying in part on a truth defence, and so they.
That's right.
They slapped a subpoena on Channel 7 and said, righto, hand over all the documents. Hand over all the documents that might have been produced in this months-long wooing of Bruce Lehrman to get him to do this interview. And they produced precisely one document. One. Then, after Mr. Auerbach says, well, I was kind of encouraged to delete documents. It was suggested to me that might be a good idea, which Seven strongly denies. More documents were produced, Phil, a year later. And Justice Lee said, well, you'd better Channel 7 indicate to me how on earth that happened. So in an affidavit produced, demanded and produced to and tendered to the federal court today, Bruce McWilliam, who is a storied figure in commercial TV circles, who is, I think, the outgoing commercial director of Channel 7, said that the network's appalled by these allegations, very much, may I say, thrown the executive producer, Mark Llewellyn, under the bus, saying that they relied on untested assurances from Llewellyn that there weren't further communications, that they didn't bother to go through all the computers, but subsequently they did and they produced a few more. So that's just a controversial sidebar. But I think the fallout for Seven will be quite substantial here in terms of its reputation. It certainly hit its share price.
So do I. So do I. Yes, it's share price, which was in the doldrums anyway.
Mm.
Alan Fanning's with us. This is Nightlife News Breakdown. Just quickly, a couple of other things. The Coalition and the Israeli Defence Forces and the tragic death of those 7 aid workers. The Prime Minister's anger has continued. I mean, some are calling him for it to be more intense. He's now moved to calling the deaths of Zomi Frankum and her colleagues outrageous.
For them to lose their life in these circumstances is outrageous and completely unacceptable. Humanitarian workers are protected under international law, and the Netanyahu government must publish a full and transparent investigation, and they must be held accountable.
There does appear to be some difference opening up, though, between the government and the opposition here, who are not going in as hard. This is Dave Sharma, Liberal Senator for New South Wales. This morning.
I'm not a jurist on the ground there, but I've seen that in Israel's conduct of this war, they have sought to minimise civilian casualties. They've sought to allow for the provision of humanitarian assistance. And when they've made the mistakes, like they did clearly yesterday, they've accounted for them, apologised for them, and promised a full and transparent investigation. Now, in the heat of a conflict, and mindful that I'm not there on the ground, I can't make more, qualified judgments than that, but I think that's all we should expect, and we should continue to seek that Israel upholds the highest standards of international humanitarian
law. Neither the US nor the UK are going in for this fog of war argument,
no,
are they?
No. And I think the Prime Minister is showing some really genuine anger about this. As you say, he spoke to Benjamin Netanyahu, who subsequently put out a video statement saying, look, it's tragic, but it happens in war. And what Albanese is saying there is, look, I'm not sort of buying that. I'm not buying that argument at all. I was very interested to see Dr. Roger Shanahan, a former very senior Australian Army officer, Middle Eastern security analyst, a very temperate, calm, a considered middle-of-the-road sort of commentator and very well-informed about these matters, saying had real questions about the targeting processes and the discipline of the Israeli military in these matters, saying, as the Prime Minister has, the vehicles were clearly identified. The Israeli military was allegedly advised of the convoy's presence. There was no fighting in the area. And if they're making that sort of mistake under those conditions, how many targeting mistakes are made by a force made up of, in part, conscripts and reservists when conditions are really complex? He points out, remember the December killing by Israeli troops of the three hostages, bare-chested and waving a white flag? And he's saying, look, yes, absolutely. Hamas put a lot of lives at risk by militarising civilian areas when it built its tunnel system, no doubt about it. But he's saying we're only hearing about the high-profile cases where that's where the public gets the insight into the targeting protocols, the rules of engagement, and the individual fire discipline. And so you have people like World Vision former chief Tim Costello saying, look, you cannot leave it to the IDF to conduct an independent investigation. By definition, it can't be. But at the same time, as you indicate, the coalition very much maintaining that line. Barnaby Joyce saying yes, sounding outraged by it and saying, look, it should be investigated. But Angus Taylor caught a bit flat-footed, I thought, this morning on ABC TV, still referring to the Israeli airstrike as an allegation, even though Israel has taken responsibility.
It's not an allegation.
Yeah. And Shadow Foreign Minister Birmingham saying it shouldn't have happened, it's a tragic mistake. And again, Peter Dutton saying, look, it's a consequence of Hamas's attacks.
Anyway, let's await some more from the Israeli side on this matter. Look, just very briefly before you go, you were talking to the new Age Discrimination Commissioner, Robert Fitzgerald, today.
You get to a certain age, Phil, and you want to be talking about ageing. You want to be talking about what happens to a person as they age in the workplace, how we ought to tackle age discrimination. Back in 1982, when I was a girl in high school, only 10% of women aged 60 to 64 were in the workplace. Now it's 54%. And there's still this systemic problem with men and women of being patronised and underestimated and passed over for a promotion and not employed in the first place. But I wanted to talk to Robert as well, in a slightly confessional mode between two Catholics, about the fact that we oldies might be creating a bit of this friction in the workplace, because something happens, Phil, to older women when the estrogen tide ebbs away and all those caring hormones leach from your body and you get a little bit grumpy.
But one of the things that is actually true is older people lose two things. They lose nuance, and they also lose that sense, as you said, of being guarded in what they say. They become much more direct. And so as you get older, the notion of the grumpy old man or the old grumpy woman is actually true.
You've had an interesting and storied life as a lawyer, as a productivity commissioner, a royal commissioner. There are phases in a working life, aren't there, where your enthusiasm ebbs and flows, your sense of innovation and energy and engagement and your capacity ebbs and flows. When do you know when it's time to hang up your hat?
Well, obviously, given I've just taken this role, I haven't come to that view just yet, Ellen. So
well,
I'm probably the least...
Take it as personal counselling for me then, mate.
I'm the least thing. Look, I think when you start to lose enthusiasm for the work that you're doing and you don't find a way to get that back. I mean, a lot of jobs, you're very excited, it's terrific, it then goes into a bit of a dull phase. And the question is whether you get some of that energy back. And when you can't, when it's not going to happen, I think that's the time you know that that particular role is no longer suitable for you. And I think many of us are experiencing that. The second one is much more difficult, is if you do leave that, do you have the energy for something new and different? I think you've had a number of callers that are absolutely, and my view is that is not age-related. Enthusiasm for what you do, I hope I never lose that at whatever age I am. The challenge, I think, for older people is also to be realistic about their skill set. And the danger here is I think some people probably oversell to themselves what that skill set is. So it's, again, balancing the enthusiasm for doing something new and different, but also saying, have I really got the skills, the attributes to do that particular role? And if you've got those two things, do it. If you haven't, then I think retirement's a good place.
Yes.
I love it.
What do you think of that? Age Discrimination Commissioner says oldies are grumpy. I'm grumpy. Are you grumpy?
Yeah, I'm grumpy. I'm grumpier. That's the trouble. I fight against it, though, Ellen. I fight against it.
Great
terrific
to see you.
To have you, and great to have your time as well. Thanks so much. Ellen Fanning with us.
Nightlife with Philip Clark on ABC Radio.